Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Holy Father, may you just illuminate these words to us today, that we could receive them in our hearts and in our minds, that you would convict us, and God, that you would speak to us from deep to deep. In Jesus' name. Holy Father, thank you so much for these words. It says here in Matthew chapter 11, and if you'll notice with me in verse 28, it says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, as we think about these verses and what Jesus spoke here, I want to just take one step back for just a moment and ask you just to think about, how much does God our Father love us? And how much does Jesus love us? We can talk about God loving us and we can think about, yes, of course God loves us, but when you really think about the consideration that we receive from God, you know, David said it like this: "What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you would visit him? Why do you even stop to think about us at all, God?" And the reality is because God made us. He made us in his image. He is shaping us into the image of his son. And he cares about what is going on in each of our lives. And God has the capability to do that. He has the ability to care about you individually and us collectively, and who we are as individual members and who we are as collective members. And he cares because he is working something so magnificent through his son, Jesus Christ, that we who believe in the promises that God has delivered to us, that we might become children of God. Now, if you, being human, know how to love your kids and know how to love other kids, who is this God of love who loves us so much and cares for us? It's such an amazing thing when we consider how much God loves us, because he knows everything about us. And if you feel like you're hiding anything from God, I want to ask you today to just give that up. Because the game's only one way. It's like the little kid that's playing hide and seek, and they think they're hiding because they don't see the adult looking for them. But the adult can see their feet right under the curtains. They know right where they are. They know exactly what they're doing. But because the kid doesn't see, they somehow think they're hiding. And we laugh, but we play that game all the time with God. We think somehow he doesn't see, somehow he doesn't know. We just sang a song about surrendering. You know, to me, surrendering is just stripping away every bit of facade, stripping away all the playing around, and stripping away all the things that we can hide behind through either anger or vice or the facades that everything's just lovely and wonderful all the time. And we get to the real heart of the matter is, where is your heart today with the Lord? Are you heavy? Are you burdened? Sometimes we don't stop to think about that. We live in an age of busyness. We live in an age of constant distractions. Constantly being pinged, constantly being texted to, constantly being called, constantly being interrupted, constantly needing attention, constantly needing stimulation, constantly needing. And I'm telling you, it's just all a distraction if we don't come to the very basic thing we all need to do. What we're doing right here, right now. To come before our God and to worship him. And to slow ourselves down a bit. To let the truth and the reality of what's going on in our hearts and in our minds come forward. It's a simple calling that Jesus gave. Come to me. Come to me. That's Jesus calling. Come to me. See, we're not at our jobs right now. We're not out working right now. Right now, we are in this room here together or at home where you're watching. We don't have to rush off to anything else. This is it right now. This is the moment right now. We don't have to wait till later. Right now, we can come to Jesus Christ. Right now, we can say, "Here I am, Lord. You call?" He says, "Come to me." Where do you find rest for your soul? Where do you find peace and quietness within? Where is it that you get still to hear the still small voice of God? See, this invitation is an amazing invitation by one who knows already what is going on in your life. He knows who you are. And he says, come. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you rest. See, Christ's desire is to give you a place of rest, to give you a place of peace that is more than just even this day of the Sabbath rest. It is the rest that comes when you have a peace of heart and mind where Jesus comes in and the kingdom of God comes alive in your being. Because what is important is what's important to the King. And what we submit to and surrender to is what of value to the King. And the whole purpose and point of direction is to see life the way God does. Most of what is going on in this world, in our hearts and minds, and what is revealed in the Scripture is not so much a changing of circumstances as it is a changing of what is happening inside of us. God is converting children. He is bringing sons and daughters to glory. He is shaping us in the image of the Son. He is the potter. We are the clay. He is doing a work and he's saying, will you yield to this work? Because if we are all tied up with burdens, if we are all tied up being heavy labored and laden and going about after things that Christ said, no, you got the wrong yoke on. You're going to be going in ways that may even seem good to you, but they aren't really churning out rest. They're not producing peace. It's just more busy. It's just more distraction. And maybe never really dealing with what is going on inside of you to come before Jesus Christ. So what is it that burdens you? What is it that weighs you down, that makes you feel heavy? Do you come here today with sorrow? With grief? Do you come here today with anxiety? I just don't know what's going to be happening. Do you have anxiety over your health or your finances or things of life? Do you have fears that are weighing you down? You see, burdens come to each of us in all their unique ways, but what we do share in life is burdens. And the thing is that through all the burdens and through all the heavy weights and through all the labors, Jesus says here, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Did he say, I'm taking away all your burdens? Did he say, I'm taking away all your labor? You know, sometimes in life, we think that the finding of peace is to make all the environment around us peaceful. If somehow we could just get everybody to do what they're supposed to do, life would be so much better, right? You read things from time to time on Facebook, the internet, you know, pastors say, oh, I love pastoring. If it just wasn't for the people, right? Because you think that, hey, everything goes perfect as long as I'm preaching the word of God. But what about the people? No, I don't feel that way, guys. So you will never see my name signed to that thing on Facebook or the internet or anything like that. Because I think that what God wants us to see is something much deeper here and much more valuable and really so profound in who God is. How is God godly all the time? All the time, he's never not godly. There is no shadow or variation of turning in him. When he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's not offering to you to take away labor, and he's not offering to take away heavy laden. He's saying, let me give you rest. You see, maybe you're anxious about your kids and what's going on in their lives. How they're going to turn out, where they're going to go, what they're going to do. Maybe you're anxious or feeling heavy laden because you're like, well, what is life about? What do I need to do? Where is work? Maybe you're feeling stressed about finances or different things. Maybe you are still carrying around a whole bunch of burdens. Some of which you might be able to get yourself rid of today, and some of which maybe you need to carry on past today because there is no point of reconciliation in this moment. Maybe the healing of it won't happen till much later. See, I'm not here to give you the answer, but I am here to ask you, can we take a moment right now and just think about where we are? What is the burden that you have? Because the rest God wants to give you might happen without actually removing the thing that's burdening you. That feels heavy in your life. It might not be about the removing of it. It might be about the reality of seeing it the way God does and seeing the most magnificent thing that you can about God and what he wants to instill in us. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. These three things abide forever. And the only way we ever come to have rest over the heavy burdens that we face in life and over the labor that we have to do is by having the vision to see God in the midst of our lives, to understand the love of the Father is upon us, that what he has set out to do is to bring us to be his children. And we now see everything we face from the perspective of who he is, with faith, hope, and love. You see, when Jesus is saying here, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Was Jesus' life on the earth free of burdens? Of attacks? Of people mocking him? Of people trying to trick him? Was it free of people hating him? What was it that gave Jesus rest? What was it that Jesus said, take my yoke and learn from me? He says, because I am gentle and lowly in heart. How much stress, how much unrest comes in our lives because when the labors and the burdens come, we are not treating it with a gentle and lowly heart. We're getting upset. We're getting angry. We're getting fearful. We're getting doubting. We're getting selfish. How much of what causes unrest in our lives is really about the situation as much as it is the way we're viewing the situation and treating it? So what Jesus is offering to us here is to take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He's saying there is a way to face all of this and not be in a place of unrest. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you can face the things of life that would seem to cause unrest and still find rest for your soul in the midst of it? It doesn't mean the thing that might be scaring you isn't still trying to scare you. It doesn't mean that the challenge that's before you is suddenly gone. What it's saying is, Jesus says, learn from me in this. look at what I'm doing. How did he face what he faced? Because he said, I am gentle and lowly in heart. I am meek. I am ever learning. I am teachable. And it says even in the book of Hebrews that Jesus learned from the things that he suffered. It wasn't a matter of unrest. And it doesn't have to be a matter of unrest to our souls either. It's seeing it in a way that goes beyond. And notice he says, if you learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, you will find rest for your soul. See, I know that wherever you are right now, with whatever things that are burning you, that are feeling heavy in your life, whatever challenges you're facing that might bring about a lack of faith or even a lack of love or bring about a lack of hope, I know that Jesus Christ is saying to you and to me, when we have this feeling of unrest, that we are to come to him and that he can basically change who we are as we learn from him how to walk through whatever it is we face through lowliness, meekness, gentleness of heart. And he says, if you do this, you will find rest for your souls. Do you want to have rest in your soul? Do you want to find a place of peace? One of the things that we face in our society, maybe as strongly as any, is how much unrest there can be in relationships, and specifically marriage relationships. There can be so much unrest in our marriages because what happens is we enter into a marriage with high expectations, right? And you know what they say about expecting things, and especially when you have high expectations, you're setting yourself up for disappointments in life, especially when it's an expectation outside of your control with an expectation that is unrealistic for the other person to ever really meet if they are a human being and are subject to the futility of things like the flesh and weakness and forgetfulness and rudeness and all the things that we humanly can do. And we somehow think that in the combination of marriage, that the person on the other side that's human is somehow going to stop being human. And if they would just get their act together, things would be so much better for me. If they could just be a little bigger, a little stronger, a little smarter, a little whatever more, that it would all be okay. Because then they are making me happy. But when they're not making us happy, we have all this unrest in our souls. We have all this unrest in what's going on because our expectations aren't being met and we're missing out on something so powerful that God wants us to see. That to find rest for your soul is not dependent on how you are being treated by somebody else. And so much of the labor and the heavy burdens of life come because people that are in your life aren't doing what you want. True? What if rest for your soul was simply dependent on you? What if the other people in your lives are not there to be perfect for you, but rather you come to Christ to learn from him that he may perfect you for them? What if that is the goal here? Does that change maybe a little bit of the paradigm and the thinking that you might have about what it is? What if the whole concept of marriage was about Christ being in the midst to help perfect a person to be who they were to the other person? And that is the goal. That's it. What if Christ is saying, I want you to learn from me to be lowly and gentle, to be meek and humble, to have a lowly heart. This is the yoke. This is the way. And what anybody else is doing and what your spouse is doing, what does it really matter? Does it impact your rest if I'm still in you and you're still walking with me? What did Jesus say? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Who's offering the rest here? Who can give us rest for our souls? Jesus. So the work we're looking to is not in another human being. We're looking up to the Lord of glory, who tempted in all points, yet without sin. He lived in this flesh sinlessly. He lives forever, a high priest continually. And what does he do? He says he lives to make intercession always for the saints, that Christ can perfect forever those who are being sanctified to God through him. He basically is changing us. Our world is set up with a paradigm that we are looking for other people to be a certain way, to act in certain ways, that circumstances need to line up in certain ways, jobs need to line up in certain ways, all these things that can cause unrest for our souls because they create anxiety or stress because we have an expectation. But what if the expectation of you is this, that Jesus is my Lord, and whatever I face with you, God. And as I walk, my whole purpose is to be lowly and gentle in whatever I do. What if we weren't supposed to be getting to a point where we're feeling disappointed and having all the lost expectations? What if we rejoice in the Lord always? What if we pray without ceasing? What if in everything we give thanks because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you? See, that's a different way of living, isn't it? That is a different way of thinking. Rejoice always, and I'm quoting from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do you hear God's thinking for us? He's saying, do you want to get molded and shaped like me? Come here. Come learn from me. You're thinking that you're going to change circumstances. You get on your knees and ask for every circumstance change possible in your life. Because somehow we feel like when we get down on our knees before God, we start asking the questions of God. Can you change this? Can you make this different? Can you do this? Can you do this? We can so often go through what would make us happy moment. What would give rest for our soul moment? What do we need God to happen? Now, God is not against the bringing forth of the requests, but we will completely be missing what life is about if we don't realize that through all the things that we come to God to pray about, what he's wanting to do is change us. The way we see it, the way we walk through it, the way we live through it. Because what he wants us to be doing is to be lowly and gentle. Notice what he says again. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Take my yoke. It's not a yokeless life. He didn't say there are no yokes. Okay? Sometimes we think no yokes. No, there is yoke. It's just a better yoke. Because, see, the yoke is that Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart. See, to go through life with a yoke of being gentle and lowly in heart means that you are not doing what you do based on what somebody else is doing, because that's not the expectation for where rest is coming from. Rest comes from above. Rest comes from Christ to you, to me, in my heart. What do I need to do when I'm having unrest about what's going on in my environment and my circumstances? I need to go to God. Jesus says, come. Come to me. You see, this is a trade that isn't just a one-time trade. This is a trade for every day. You know, Jesus made the great trade. He said, David, Juan, Linda, you put your own name in. Give me all your sin, and I'll give you all my righteousness. That's pretty awesome. Give me all your sin, and I'll give you all my righteousness. It's not just enough to give him your sin. You also have to accept his righteousness. That's how he gets the good part of his deal. The good part of our deal is like, we can get rid of sin? Yes, Jesus is saying, but the good part of my deal is you get my righteousness. That's the trade we need to make every day. That's not a one-time trade. Every time we sin and fall short, make the trade. Because we try to live with that. That also will create a lot of unrest for your soul if you don't make that trade. You try to hold on to your sin, say, "No, Jesus, I haven't earned giving this to you yet." Oh, you're going to pay a big price then. You think you got to earn that one? You're going to pay a big price to give that up. How long does it take you? You know, you ever ask yourself that question? How long does it take you to unburden yourself when you sin? You know, is an hour long enough? A day? A week? A month? A year? 5 years? How long will it take you to give up your sin to Christ? How long will it take you to give up your burden to Christ? Not the burden that the situation has gone, but the unrest in your soul. Because we haven't come to Christ with what we have going on. And we need to take on a different yoke. I put that other yoke on all the time. I hate that yoke. It's heavy and it's burdensome. And you know what's really tricky about those yokes? They generally don't get heavy all at once. They sneak up on you. It's like you're walking and somebody puts just a little bit of weight on you. And it's like, no problem. I'm good with it. I can't even feel it's there. And then another little one goes on. And then another little one goes on. I don't know how it works in your life, but that's how it works in my life. And then suddenly I'm walking along. And I'm like, man, this just feels heavy. And I realize, oh, because you've been carrying all these burdens. You didn't even see them piling on. You've just been kind of plowing ahead. And all of a sudden the weight is so heavy. And now the yoke that seemed light and easy when you started off, after some time, it's not so light and easy anymore. Marriage is like that. It generally doesn't happen all at once. Marriages don't break apart, don't disintegrate, don't turn into what they do all at once. It usually happens just a little slice at a time. Just a little bit. And before you know it, you feel so burdened and you're like, how did I get to this place? Because you haven't been offloading and looking at it the way you should be. What if the circumstances of life are circumstances that you never change, but what the circumstances of life bring is constant change in you? Maybe the determination is not for God to get rid of the circumstances that create the challenge, but rather for God to get rid of the gunk in the things in the way we are to face and overcome the challenge. What if God brings forth Goliaths so that the Davids can show faith, hope, and love? What if God brings forth the army of 1.5 million because he wants to show faith, hope, and love? What if God brings forth, through the midst of sin, his son and sends him to a cross to show faith, hope, and love? Because Jesus is saying, I am lowly and meek, this is my yoke, and through all the world can throw, this is how I remain at rest. It is through his Father. It is by the power that God gave him, the same power that's available to you and me today. How do we bring this to one another? So Jesus says here, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden, it's light. Turn with me over to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 10. It says in Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, it says, now it happened as they went, that speaking of Jesus, he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him to her home, or her house. She said, come here, Jesus. Would you come and come to my house today? And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Therefore, tell her to help me. Because this is really hard stuff. I mean, I got hors d'oeuvres. I got seating. There's people coming in. I got a lot going on here. This is not easy stuff, hosting a little gathering, because as I invite you in, there's a lot going on now. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Now, is Jesus against good works and serving? Is this the point of what he's saying here to his sister? No, we know from many other places, right? You are Christ's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. So works weren't really what he was addressing here, whether serving is a good thing or not. But there is something to be said about what's going on here, and that is this. Notice what happens. So Martha, in verse 38, she welcomes him into her house. And then in verse 40, she's distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, hey, my sister's not doing what I'm doing. Get her to help. She welcomed him in. For what reason? Why did she want him there? Why do you want him there? In the measurement in your mind, who has greater power to serve in life, in your relationship with Jesus, you or him? Who has the greater power to do something good for one or the other in the relationship, you or Jesus? Here's something that can happen to us that's kind of tricky in a human way of thinking. We know that we're to love God, to worship him, to serve him. But in the realm of what we do, sometimes we can think it's about what work we're doing as opposed to what he's doing through us through the work we're doing. What he is wanting us to see is that the things that we do, he is using all the things that we do as part of the shaping, but ultimately the service, the transformation, the change that God is creating in our lives is his work. It was like Cameron was reading today from Jeremiah about the lump of clay and the potter. The clay can be what the potter wants it to be. But the clay is not making the clay what it wants to be. It's doing what the potter wants it to do. Sometimes we think that we need to be doing these things, and we can get so engaged in the effort after we invite Jesus in, we forget that what comes first always has to be the one who is doing the serving and the one who's doing the work. Friends, we are the creation. God is not the creation. We didn't create him. He made us. Whose work is salvation? It's his work. Why are we here? Because he calls us. Why does he even have us looking at his word? Because he gives it to us. Why do we have any hope of eternal life? Because he blessed us with his son. Because he gives us of his spirit. Because he counsels us to have faith. He wants us to come. Every bit of the work that we're engaged in is what God is doing in our lives. And sometimes we think what we got to be doing is so much more important. And he's saying, well, let's not miss the first thing here. The reason I came in was because you invited me, and I'm here to serve you. Which of us can serve better? Which of us can serve more? See, this is the thing about the worship today, and why I said it's just so amazing, because surrender is the decision that you and I make to let Jesus be the Lord of our lives, to let him have the say. He is the one through whom God made all things, seen and unseen. There was nothing made that was made except through him. And that means even what's going on right now in you and me. You are God's new creation. He is forming and shaping you. And through all that we face in our lives, and through all the heartache and the circumstances and broken relationships and all these things, what is God looking to do? He's mending us together in a different way to see it the way he would have us see it, to walk through it with lowliness and gentleness, and not with pride and arrogance and expectation and complaining and murmuring and striving. He made us to see it differently.
all of our relationships, when you read about them in Scripture, it's about to get us to this point. There is no hope without humility. There is no hope without the service of Christ in our lives. We have to allow Jesus to be Jesus to us individually and personally. We have to allow Jesus to be Jesus to us collectively. And from that foundation, then we can do good works. But if the best thing needed in your life right now is to seek the Lord, that is number one. Because we can be busy with many things. We can invite Jesus to our homes, and we can get so busy with stuff that we forget that the number one work is what? What is the work of God? What is the one thing Jesus said when they asked him, what can we do to work the works of God? What was the answer? John 6:22. Notice what he says here in verse 22. Now this context is right after the feeding of the 5,000. It's right after Jesus was out with 2 fish, 5 loaves. He says, guys, get food. And they're like, hey, we can take all the money we have. It's not going to feed all these people. And Jesus already knew what he was going to do. He said, okay, have the people sit down. Who remembers what Jesus did? What was the thing once he took the food? What was the first act that he did right then and there? Yes. Oh, I love this congregation. He gave thanks. Well done. All right. So now look what happens. People are following. The following day, verse 22, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there were no other boats there except the one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. I love that John records it that way. It's such an endearing verse. I know if you've heard me teach, you've heard me bring up this verse probably 20 times, Scott and Carolyn and Stephanie. But seriously, don't you love that? Because he's bringing their minds to remembrance, the place where the Lord had given thanks. When the Lord didn't have supposedly enough, he had more. And what did they do? They took up all those baskets and those fragments, 12 basketfuls after he did that. He gave thanks. And so here they are. And so when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate loaves and were filled. You liked what I did for you. And he says to them, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Because of what the Father has done, what does it say? The Son of Man will give you. What does he want to give you? Food which endures to everlasting life. Why are you here? Are you heavy, burdened in your life? What are you laboring for? See, as we come to Jesus Christ and we get the revelation of the truth of the gospel in Jesus Christ, and we know who we were made to be, born to be, what we're here to do, the thinking is not just about laboring for food. It's not just setting up a good party for Jesus. It is laboring for him. To know him, to know Jesus Christ in our lives. Because where does rest come from? It comes from having Christ in us. Because what will satisfy us is not the things of this world. They were never meant to. In fact, the world is perishing and all will fade away. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? You see, this strips away all the facades. It should strip away every burden. It should strip away everything that you've been holding back from Christ to say, I need you so desperately. Look at how I'm all focused on this thing going on at work. Look at how I'm all focused on this thing going on in my marriage. Look at how I'm all focused on what is happening externally, wanting it to be different, wanting it to be changed. And he says, be lowly and meek. Get yoked with me. What? Learn. This is the way I do it. Because the transformation of process is when we get acquainted with Christ. Why did the Apostle Paul said, I count it all as loss? I count the fact that I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. I'm an Israelite. I have been born of the holy blood of the promise of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why did he say, according to law, he was blameless, a Pharisee of Pharisees? Why? He's all of it's lost. He said, anything I can refer to of myself is lost. But one thing I want, one thing I figured out, I need to be found in him, found in Jesus, to have a relationship with him. I need to come and have everything else stripped away. What does any of it matter? And see, what Jesus is saying, you can search for all kinds of power and status and privilege and pleasure and comfort. What does any of it matter if Jesus isn't at the heart and the center of it? And so he says, I count it all as loss for the excellency of knowing Christ. If I have Christ, I have everything. Every problem we face, everything we're missing out on, everything that we should be anxious over, you could say, is all solved in Christ. And if we have Christ, we have rest for our souls because he shows us exactly how to be who we are to be in this world, in this life. It's personal to you and it's personal to me. It's not a thing of man. It is a thing of God. When Jesus says, don't labor for the food which perishes, he's not saying don't eat. He's not saying don't go to work. He's saying the food you need to be laboring for is for him. Seek you first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Who is first and foremost in our lives? Who are we seeking? So they said to him, verse 28, what shall we do then that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Now, sometimes something like this can be looked at as very ethereal. How do you actually practice that? How do you put that into action in your life? This is the work of God, that you may believe in him whom he sent. How is it that we believe? So we know it says in Romans, faith comes by hearing, right? And hearing by the word of God. But even the demons know this word. Satan himself in the temptation of Christ quoted from it wrongly, but took the word and abused it. Faith is a gift from God. By the Spirit, comes by the word. How do we know Jesus is the Son of God? Jesus said, because my Father revealed it to you. Now you can come to believe. But ultimately, as it comes down to the crux of it, everything that God is doing in our lives to instill faith and hope and love in us by revealing his faithfulness, his hope for us, his love for us, what he is doing is revealing himself so that in us we can just say, yes, I surrender to your will. I surrender to what you want in my life. I surrender and accept every gift and promise you have offered me. My life is in your hands. As long as our lives are in our own hands, for our own direction, for our own bidding, we can expect that we will be feeling more and more the feeling that Jesus said, all you who labor and are heavy laden, because we're going to still keep trying to work out what we want for our lives, and we're going to keep trying to pursue that which is of our own expectation and our own desires that may or may not be in line with God's. A beautiful thing about God is he's very merciful while we figure this out. He is very gentle with us and very giving because he's still God even when we're not like God. He knows what to do for us, and in that we should give him much thanks and much praise. And every time we do that, we become a little more like him. How are we transformed into the image? How do we come to believe? It's by giving the worship, the honor, and the thanksgiving to the God who is all these things. He never goes astray. He's never distraught. He's never thrown off his course. He is constant because his yoke is light. And this is what we have been called to put our attention fully onto him. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians 4 and verse 1, Apostle Paul writes, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." Okay, so here it is. You're saying, what do you want me to do, God? How do I walk in the calling with which you called me? With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. No matter what you're going through right now, no matter what burden you might be feeling today, what if that isn't the yoke that you're bearing to work toward anymore? What if the yoke that you now carry is to say, okay, so just understand this. What you want me to do is start living life with lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Does that change your relationships with other people if you just make that? See, you can't change what anybody else does. You can change not much of anything, because we're kind of like lumps of clay here. But you can make the choice to believe in Jesus and to say, this is the way I need to go. Please now give me the way I need to go. What if you who are struggling in your marriage with your husband or your wife decide that you're just going to go this route now? What if you made a choice for Jesus Christ today to say, you know what? It really has almost nothing to do at this point. You already locked in. You locked it in. You coveted it. That's why the disciples said, maybe we shouldn't be getting married if this is the way it is, God. You know? But now that you're in it, what are you going to do in that marriage? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you're waiting for the other person to change, you've got to let that go. No matter how frustrating it might feel to you, no matter what expectation you've hoped for and might have, you've got to let it go. You see, no one knows more about missed expectations or hopes probably than Jesus Christ as a husband to a bride who is us. If you ever feel like no one gets it, you got a whole book right here about who gets it. God gets it. God gets it. Are you happy that he is constant in his ways? That no matter what seems to be thrown at him, he continues to be God and godly, full of love and mercy and truth, full of compassion, forgiving iniquity and sin. That when people come, we don't even question, do we? If we come confessing our sins, we rely on his promise that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We all like live expecting that to happen. We all rely on him to be open to us and gracious. Now the question is, can we be that gracious? Can we be that long-suffering? Can we be that forbearing? Can we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? So often we get burdened because we have these relationship issues, whether it's in marriage or work relationships or with neighbors. We get burdened because of circumstances in our lives. How are we going to deal with these things from this moment? It would be a shame to leave here without a new track to say, Lord, if this is your will, that I rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, because this is your will. then I need to stop the complaining, the murmuring. I need to stop the sulking. I need to start going toward you in everything and allow my heart to be lowly and meek that I may be like you. Can you do that today? Can you do that right now? I want to make this church a place right now where we can come and accept Christ for wherever we are in this moment. And to do that, you're going to have to be lowly and meek. To do that, you have to lay down your pride and say, well, I don't need Jesus. Can you be lowly in this place right now today? I'm asking if you would. I'm asking that whatever is burdening you, just take the moment right now. Answer this question to yourself. What feels heavy in your life? What is weighing on you right now? If you could get rid of it, what would it be? If you could change it, what is it? Now, whatever that is, I want us to come and take that to the Lord right now in prayer together. And I want us to deliver to Him the thing that we are feeling so weighed down by, so that we can get His yoke, so that we can receive of His yoke, because He said it's light and it's easy. Jesus said, Matthew, He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, this is the love of God, that we would keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. So much of the burden we're feeling is what's happening to us, rather than feeling the freedom of the light and easy yoke, which is keeping the commandments toward God and toward others. We're missing because we have expectations of God or of other people that are not being met. We have things that we burdened our lives with that are so distracting and so shielding of our eyesight to be able to see the revelations of our own hearts and our own minds, and to say, that's got to be gone. That's got to change. And yet what we're seeing is God might say, you got to have it, but have it the way I would have it. To walk with God, to be with God, to let God minister to you right now. Maybe you're filled with sorrow or grief. Maybe you have shame or guilt. These things too are heavy burdens. Can you let them go? We should make it our point to realize we don't have to wait to some future moment. This can be the moment. And we don't have to push this past now. I'm asking if you've identified it. Will you make this place a place of prayer to come to Christ right now? Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Those are His words to you. That's His invitation to you. He says, come eat of me, come drink of me. For He says, I am the bread from heaven. I am the bread of life. He who eats of me will never hunger. He who drinks of me will never thirst. Do you want to be satisfied? It is found in Him. So what I'd like to do is ask the worship team to come up. But I'd like to ask you, if you want to kneel down and pray, let's just make this front right now a place of kneeling and prayer. Want to pray in your own seat, you can. I know it makes some of us uncomfortable, but sometimes in life, you have to be willing to take a step to say, no, this is the time I need to humble myself before the Lord, to be lowly and to be meek. And so let's worship Him. Let's praise Him. And if you need prayer, I'm here. We're here to pray for you today. You don't have to carry the weight anymore. You can see how to face what you're facing in the eyes of Christ. You don't have to be busying yourself with work when what you need to do is be busying yourself with the fear of the Lord and belief and faith in Him. God is calling out to you who are hurting and are mourning and are burdened. You who are just feeling ravaged through relationships and through marriage, who know that you're looking for your husband and wife to be different right now. He is calling out to you. Will you let them go? With grace, with forbearance. Will you suffer long with Christ? He's asking you to let go of what is keeping you in fear and anxiety right now. I know there are those of you who have fear about your health and fear about what's just going to happen in your life. He already knows. He already knows. He already knows. You're not hiding anything. You're not hiding anything from God today. He sees everything in your life. And He's asking you to just come out. He's saying to Adam and Eve all over again, where are you? Why are you afraid? Why are you hiding? Who do you think you're hiding from? Who do you think you're hiding from? Let's worship Him.